Greetings and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Redmond, Washington today with Dr. Stephen C. Meyer, author of Darwin's Doubt, The Explosive Origin of Animal Life and the Case for Intelligent Design. So Dr. Meyer, thank you for coming on the show with us today.
It's great to be with you, Casey.
We really appreciate, obviously, all the work that you put in on Darwin's Doubt, and we're very excited about this book coming out. I wanted to ask you just a few questions today about your book and about the argument you're making. So, Dr. Meyer, let's start off by just talking about sort of the background to the story that you tell in Darwin's Doubt. When Darwin wrote Origin of Species, what was the main piece of evidence that he could not explain?
Well, he was concerned about the sudden appearance of some of the major groups of animals at a particular layer in the geologic strata. It was at the time called the Silurian period, later was renamed the Cambrian. And Darwin was aware that a number of important groups of animals, like the trilobites and the brachiopods and some others, came suddenly into the fossil record. That is to say, if you went through thousands of feet of strata beneath the Silurian or Cambrian strata, you found nothing of any significance. And then suddenly, you had in these sedimentary layers, very long time ago, these very distinct and complex animal forms. And this had been known for quite a while. Adam Sedgwick, who was one of Darwin's mentors, took Darwin to some of the places in Wales where these fossils were found and showed him them when Darwin was an undergraduate. And so he was aware of this problem of the sudden appearance, and he confessed that he couldn't explain it. He said that the case at present must remain inexplicable. It was not something that his theory he could give any kind of adequate explanation of, and he really had no answer for why there was an absence of fossils in these lower formations, these lower beds. So that was the doubt he acknowledged in the Origin of Species itself and said it was a valid objection to the views here entertained. So that was the mystery as it was first established. Why did the Cambrian animals appear so suddenly if, in fact, the history of life is best represented by a slow, gradually unfolding branching tree, and if the chief cause of the change depicted by that tree of life diagram showing the history of life is in fact natural selection acting on random variations, when Darwin understood that that mechanism must work very slowly and very gradually.
As you mentioned, Dr. Meyer, at the time that Darwin wrote Origin of Species, it wasn't called the Cambrian. It was called the Silurian, I think.
It was called the Silurian. The geological period was later renamed. And it wasn't that long. I think by the sixth edition, Darwin was talking about it as the Cambrian as well.
Today, when we hear of the Cambrian explosion, we are actually talking about the same problem. Not necessarily in name, but the same problem in physical
the very
form
same
that
problem.
Darwin knew about.
Yeah, the very same problem. Only the problem has grown more intense. It's become exacerbated by subsequent fossil finds, such as the finds in the Burgess Shale and the finds in southern China, the Maoshishan Shale near Changjiang, China. In fact, what the book does is tell the story of Darwin's doubt and what's become of it, and how it has intensified, not only as a problem of missing ancestral fossils, and the first third of the book addresses the problem of the missing fossils. Where are those missing pre-Cambrian ancestors expected on Darwin's theory? But then the second third of the book addresses really what is a deeper problem that relates to the question of cause or mechanism, and that is, how do you build a new animal? Darwin's theory of natural selection acting on random variations, he understood, must act very slowly. He understood that if the variations in subsequent generations of organisms were large, if they were macro variations, we'd call them macro mutations today, that they were likely to be really damaging, really deleterious. And so he understood that the mechanism of natural selection had to work very slowly and very gradually on very small incremental variations. But that meant that it would take a long time. And what he saw in the fossil record and what has been documented by subsequent findings is the sudden appearance of, at the time, a few major groups of animals. Since the Burgess Shale discovery and the discovery of the fossils in Changjiang, we now realize that a great number of new animal groups, the phyla, subphyla classes, the major groups of animals, came into the record very suddenly.
If we maybe step back from evolutionary considerations for just a moment, why is the Cambrian explosion such an important event in the history of life? What happened there? Why is it so talked about?
Well, it's important independent of one's theory of origins because it is the place where the major animal body plans, at least most of them, first come into the fossil record. There's various ways of counting the number of the higher taxonomic groups. We focused on the phyla. We could have focused on the subphyla or the classes, because all these higher taxonomic groups in the Linnaean classification system designate large differences in form. And what we see in the Cambrian explosion are a very great number of new animal forms that are very disparate, very distinct from each other in their overall form, in their overall organization of body parts and organs and tissues. Biologists will often talk about body plans, and body plans are distinctive ways of organizing body parts, organs, tissues, etc. And what we see in the Cambrian is a number of distinct body plans coming into the fossil record, the animal body plans, and clearly a majority of those that have ever existed on Earth. We did a very careful count in the book and did a lot of research on patterns of first appearance, and we found that by one way of counting the number of phyla, there are about 36 total phyla that have existed during the history of life on Earth. Of those, 26 are represented somewhere in the fossil record. And of those 26 that are represented in the fossil record, fully 20 of them come first on the scene in the Cambrian. And within a fairly narrow seam of rock, now dated at around 5 to 6 million years. So this is, in geologic history, a blink of the eye.
Stay tuned for more on I Do the Future with Dr. Stephen Meyer talking about his new book, Darwin's Doubt, The Explosive Origin of Animal Life and the Case for Intelligent Design. I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2013. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.